Hello and welcome to the optimistically titled Talking Spite Series 1 Episode 1. It's a series, not a season. This is the UK. And yes, the title is indeed Optimism Personified. Not only claiming it'll be another episode, but in fact another series. I am Peter Collins, and the next voice you will hear is that of Mr. Graham Flynn.
Good afternoon, Peter Collins. I am indeed Graham Flynn.
Good to know. And joining us today is star of stage and screen, Mr. Ian Dewar.
Not star of stage and screen, but I am in fact Ian Dewar, that's correct.
You in a band, Ian?
I was in a band.
Stage?
Correct.
Seeing you on stage?
Correct.
You haven't seen me because you were looking at your feet at the time.
Well, that's true.
Start of screen, Eggheads?
Eggheads, 1 versus 100. Maybe Eggheads the musical. If it ever comes around, I'm hoping to get a shout for that.
Oh. CJ Ridley, yeah.
CJ DeMuey?
Yeah.
No. Cock.
We'll talk more about Ian's experience on Eggheads later. But first on today's show, Kenny Jackett's Noel Edmonds facts, darts, live from the pond side, Brian Shule continues his sex tour of the UK, and culture in the form of Scouse poet Roy Hughes. But first, our resident agony aunt Mimsy Cummings is here to tackle life's problems.
Howie lovies, lovely to be here once again.
Enjoy the weekend, Mimsy.
Aye, I did, pet. I walked around my local park, weeping gently. And then I stopped to watch some kids playing football. Me and my Arthur used to watch them all the time, and if the ball ever came near us, my Arthur would give a little chuckle, pull out a Stanley knife, and shred the ball.
A bit harsh, that, Mimsy.
Oh, don't get me wrong, pet. He wasn't being mean. He was just doing it to show them how fortunate they were to have nice things, and to make them think of those worse off. He was great like that, was my Arthur.
I'm sorry, Mimsy, I didn't mean to upset you. Are you okay?
Aye, pet, I'm all right. He was a great man and I miss him terribly.
Yeah. Right then, should we crack on with today's caller? I think we have Gabrielle from Aberdeen. Are you there, Gabrielle?
Hello. Yes, I'm here, Peter.
Hi there. Okay, what would you like to ask Mimsy?
Hi, Mimsy.
Hello, pet, you're all right. How's things up there in Bonnie, Scotland?
Not too bad, thanks. A little on the chilly side.
Me and my Arthur used to holiday there all the time. Oh, Arthur. Why did you leave me?
Are you okay, Mimsy?
Hi, pet, sorry, ask away.
Well, it's a bit of a personal problem, really.
No worries, pet. You'd be surprised what people have told me in the past.
I feel a bit awkward.
We're all friends here, my love. No one's going to judge you. And by talking about it, you don't know how many people you'll be helping.
Okay. Me and my hubby Chris, well, we have a wonderful relationship. We love each other lots, and we make really good time for each other, even though we've got small children. And physically, things are great too. Except that... Oh, I'm embarrassed, Mimsy.
Nonsense, pet. Just spit it out. You'll feel so much better.
Well, he's never been able to give me an orgasm. The past few weeks, the physical side of the relationship has gone downhill. He keeps blaming himself for not satisfying me.
Oh, the poor, poor lad. He's getting himself all worked up for nothing.
I've been telling him that, but you won't listen.
And I bet he's making a reap mess of the sheets in the process. Now, pet, it's a common problem, and I'm faced with this one all the time. So I'll say this to you. You've got to get him to snap out of it. He's convinced himself he can give you an orgasm. But unfortunately for your fella, there's no such thing as the female orgasm. So he's doing all that sweating into the pillow for nothing.
But I have friends who say they orgasm on a regular basis with their partners.
Oh, no, 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 pet. You shouldn't listen. They are lying to themselves as well as their partners. And they're doing you no favours. My Arthur used to say the whole thing was a myth to undermine the position of the man in the house. I told him my friend Agnes had had one on her wedding night, and he called me a filthy-mouthed whore and beat me buttocks and legs black and blue with a bicycle pump until I passed out. We never spoke of the female orgasm again.
Oh my God, Mimsy, that's horrific. A bicycle pump, Jesus.
Oh no, pet, he was right to do it. I had to get these nonsensical thoughts out of me head. It's such assertive action that's made me the strong-minded woman I am today. Oh, how I miss him. My Arthur.
Well, Gabrielle.
Pet, you need to get these silly thoughts out of your head right this minute. Get in the bed and bite the pillow while he does his business, leaving you free to think up some tea time treats for him when he gets home from work.
But what's in it for me, Mimsy?
Your husband's happiness, Pitt.
Oh, Mimsy, I can't agree with you there.
I'm sorry about that, Pitt, but if you don't agree with me, perhaps it's because you've been brainwashed by the type of man my Arthur used to warn me about. And that's a shame, because you're a lovely lass.
Well, there we have it. Gabrielle, that's all the time we have here, I'm afraid. Thank you for your call, and we hope that helps.
Is that it?
Don't worry, Pitt. When he's feeling a little fruity, like I said, just lay face down, bite your pillow, your favourite teddy, and when he's snoozing, get some tea in the pot and some fruit scones in the oven.
I don't believe this. I don't know why I called. Mimsy, I just want to say, I think you're a fuck.
Thanks for your call, Gabrielle.
Oh dear, I'm afraid that's the modern courier woman for you.
Well, it appears we're out of time. What a shame. Will we be seeing you again next time, Mimsy?
Aye, of course, Pet. I've knitted everyone winter jumpers and I'll be bringing them in for you all to wear.
Oh, great. Thanks, Mimsy. We'll look forward to that.
Thanks, Pet. See you all next time.
See you, Mimsy. Okay, join us for more after the break.
Eva Cassidy returns with her 17th posthumous album. A collection of songs lovingly assembled by desperate record company executives. Scraping the Barrel, the new album from Eva Cassidy, out now.
Do you like the taste of flat shandy with pepper in? Then try ginger beer. Ginger beer.
Do men stood next to you in the toilets faint when you whip out your lad?
Ah, mate!
Do women bring their dinner up when you bring your trousers down?
Whoa.
If the answer to these questions is yes, then you need Halligan's Sterilized Bell Whiff Wipes. Available in intense mint, zesty lemon, and new, enchanting elderflower. The secret chemical ingredients form a protective shield over your Bobby's helmet, leaving you fresh, fragrant, and confident all day and night, whatever the occasion. Halligan's Bell Whiff Wipes. Make sure she gags for the right reasons.
Halligan's, the brand you can trust.
So Ian, star of Eggheads.
Mm.
I say star, just a contestant.
Contestant, lost £8,000.
Wow.
What is pecorino?
Pecorino, it's a cheese.
Correct.
Is it?
We didn't know it.
When you were on Eggheads, Ian, I would say you were on what I would describe, right, as the classic Eggheads lineup of Chris, Daphne, CJ Demui, and Kevin. Is it Kevin?
It was Kevin, yeah. Lovely fella, Kevin.
Kevin's nice. What,
and Daphne was on? Daphne?
Daphne
was there.
Judith
was on. Judith, weakest handshake. Yeah, unbelievable. May as well not bother.
You beat Judith Keppel.
Ansport.
Ansport?
2-1. Ansport, yeah. 2-1.
Whenever I watch Eggheads, I fantasise about beating Daphne. I mean, no, in
physically.
A general knowledge quiz, I don't mean pummeling her smug face in. Don't condone that.
It'd be quite dangerous to pull because she's got more teeth than the average human being. Mm. And you're going to cut yourself quite badly if you punch those teeth.
Not that I would.
No, she's not.
And I was the classic Dermot Murnaghan, not Jeremy Vine.
You totally got the classic lineup.
Yeah, Dermot.
So, the Eggheads themselves then, what are they like?
Chris, as you would expect, big, lovely bear of a man.
Yeah.
Daphne, Granny, Judith, posh, with liver spots. Badly,
yes.
Yeah.
They really show up.
CJ, commented on earlier, cock. And Kevin, just a lovely, genuine, clever man.
Do all the Eggheads hate Judith because she won that £1 million?
The camaraderie between them is you can feel it. They're very close team. The guy, the new guy with the glasses and the funny eyes, I forget his name.
Barry.
I think he's rocked the boat a little bit, coming and shaking things up. And the Irish fella, Pat. Yeah. I wouldn't go back to the show if they asked me on now. They've tampered with the format. Mm. Not yet.
Too many eggs.
Too many eggs.
Too many eggs in one basket.
Yeah.
Big omelette.
Any gossip on the eggheads you met?
On the eggheads I met, no. Just generally, we were... They come and talk to you, they'll make you feel at ease, but there's a certain competitive undertone that they're going to win.
I have issues with eggheads.
Which are?
I have two things I hate about eggheads. Mm. Okay. First thing, right, is the way the contestants don't just answer the question, right? They have to, like, vocalise their entire thought process, you know what I mean? Dermot will go like, so, what is the capital of France? Is it A, Paris? Is it B, London? Or is it C, a kettle? And instead of just going, it's Paris, right, they go, well, London, I've been to London, and I think that's in England, and a kettle, well, that's a device for boiling water. So, discounting those two, I'm going to go with Paris. Just answer the question.
Dermot likes you to work it out. He likes to know your thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's don't need a fucking life story, though.
The researchers tell you, drag it out as much as you can. Yeah.
This is the programme. They're being asked to drag out the thoughts.
And you can't
of
say you're guessing. You cannot be. You can't say you can have a guess.
Can't you?
No.
Why?
They want to make out that you're all clever and you just work it out. You can't say, so I have absolutely no idea, complete guess, stab in the dark.
So when you asked what a pecorino was, you had to say with conviction, that's a fish.
Correct.
Even though you were blatantly
wrong and it was costing us £8,000. Yeah, exactly.
That's interesting. Yeah. The other thing I hate is what the eggheads do, right? They answer the question straight away, but in as condescending a manner as possible, right? And they give supplemental information as well.
Yeah.
Right? They go. If that, like, Kevin answered, he'd go, the capital of France is Paris, or Paris, the city of light, on the River Seine, in the région parisienne, formerly Lutetia. It's Paris, just say A, Paris.
Kevin can slip some supplementary information anywhere. You know, he's, yeah. And obviously, you know, Chris is a train boffin, so if it's a train-related question, they always play on that. You know, that's the topic. Chris is a train man. Daphne, anything old, Daphne likes. Judith is, she lives in Paris.
Likes a drink.
Mm. She lives in Paris. And when they take you around the back, you know, when it's your individual go,
yeah,
and you're on the separate screens behind, yeah, you're just sitting on a bench next to them. It's quite embarrassing.
Maybe really? Like, you're not like a naughty
little
corner.
Insight there. Yeah. They take you around a corner, through a curtain, onto a wooden school bench. And as we all sat now, Daphne was, you know, touching distance. So it's, you know, these little things. And there's
they
a man.
They can whisper answers over that distance.
They can, yeah. There's a man at the BBC. It's his job to move the chairs when you leave. That's true.
It's all glamour, isn't it, the BBC?
And that's his job. No one can do it. Unions have got him nailed down. He has to move the chairs.
So while you're waiting for your questions, is there a bit of an awkward silence, or do they have a quick
a
show?
A little bit. And another insight. When I got my snooker question right about the Crucible, I said it was a guess, and Judith whispered over in my ear, good guess. Just a little whisper
that
in my
to
ear.
Them.
That near to
are
them.
You like that, really?
Like, literally, inches apart.
Oh, wow.
Camera on Judith staring into it, like at a photo booth.
You'd be that near to Judith Keppel.
That near to Judith Keppel, yeah. Liver spots and all.
Whisper it in your ear.
Behind a curtain.
Lovely. Thanks for that, Ian. Now, pompous art critic Brian Shule has been dragged beyond the boundaries of the M25 for the first time in his life. He's on a sex tour of the UK. Let's find out how he's getting on.
For centuries, artists have used the colour red to symbolise danger. This was used to magnificent effect by a handful of artists during the First World War. As dangerous as a life in the trenches may have been, it seems almost pedestrian compared to the thrill of unprotected sex with a heroin addict from Burnley.
You're not wrong, Brian, you're not wrong. Right, today we're drinking a bottle of Chateau David Bordeaux Superior. Let's see what food expert Ollie Nobed has chosen to go with the wine. You can't see him, but he's walking around a supermarket like a bit of a tit.
He's pretending to read a box of Special K and pulling a face. Now he's hiding behind some dog food. And he's done.
Today the chaps are drinking a wine from Chateau David, near the village of Dalgon to the north of Fronzac. It's a classic Bordeaux blend of Merlot, Cabernet Franc and Cabernet Sauvignon. And as such, you'd normally pair this wine with something like ribbon saucy knickknacks or pickled onion space raiders. But today, I've gone for something a little bit different. Beef Monster Munch from Walker Snack Foods. Produced in a factory in Leicester, this maize-based snack has all the punch and intensity needed to complement this stonking wine. The maize, wheat rusk and hydrolyzed soya protein in the Monster Munch will pick up on the soft, round summer fruit from the Merlot grape, while the wheat flour, lactose and ammonia caramel really allow the structure and complexity of the Cabernet Sauvignon and Franc to shine. Then finally, there's the nose. From the moment you open the bag, there's that unmistakable stench. You just know it's going to work so well with the black currants and hint of vanilla. Chaps, it's a sensational wine, and I hope you enjoy this sensational food. Monster, monster!
So here we go then. Right?
Thank you.
Ian?
Let's roll over.
Beefy.
Oh.
I'm loving the way it coats the teeth. I'm thinking that's going to remain for a while, so I might be able to continue enjoying this snack later on.
Hamster style.
Yeah, pick a bit off.
Just store it behind one of your front incisors.
Yeah.
No, it works for me. As far as I'm concerned, it works. I find the build-up of the maize-based paste in the lower molars really complements the tannins in the wine.
There's a certain a clagginess that you don't find in other products.
No,
it's unique to the munch.
Surprisingly, it does actually contain calories, which is surprising because I've digested none of the product so far.
Gentlemen, Monster Munch in one word.
Clag,
fake
munch.
Okay, so over to some gentlemen who will definitely know their way around the inside of a packet of Monster Munch. It's Darts at the Pond Side.
Welcome back to the pond side, and it's a fantastic match we're watching here. 23. Danny, the Northern Dandy Belafonte, versus Malcolm, the Spiv Nodder. The Thoroughbred versus the Old Warhorse. 16. Beauty versus Beast. Uptown Girl versus Downtown Man.
The High Class Table Dancer. This is the old tart with a pint glass full of 50p's.
8.
Wonderful crowd we've got in, Tony.
We certainly have, Tony. Celebrities all around today. Bobby McFerrin, a Pondside regular, is here again, with his old and battered, but nevertheless inspirational banner. Don't worry, be happy.
31.
And there's Sheena Easton with her trademark pint of mild. What a singer she was back in the day, until that prince corrupted her.
11.
And Queen Elizabeth II was here earlier. Her Majesty, a great supporter of both amateur and professional darts.
26.
Precision darts from Nodder there. All three darts in perfect placing, all nestled together like a Bangkok tourist and two ladyboys in the same bed.
Lovely.
15.
And speaking of lovely, I see the girls from Newcastle are in. I can't tell. What are they dressed as, Tony?
Slags.
Yeah.
33.
Hopefully tournament organiser Shandy Wilkins has locked the executive club room up, or those Geordie girls will be making full use of the minibar and padded sofas.
4.
Unless Shandy's in there with them, Tony.
Ha ha ha. I think those days are over for Shandy. Especially since he met the beautiful Mei Lin on the internet. She's 35 years his junior, but doesn't look out of place on his arm.
192.
He may have gone out in the first round, but Dutchman Willem van Faffy is here with his glamorous wife Elkie. She looks stunning holding a crystal spittoon.
One.
You're right, Tony. If there's ever been a more beautiful woman who has walked the face of this earth and chewed tobacco as elegantly as her, I've yet to meet her.
23.
And of course, there's Mal's wife Sandra. She cuts her own hair. Malcolm, of course, here after a fantastic win over Johnny Shingles in the previous round.
16.
He was very convincing in that match, Tony.
He was, Tony. He was. But it's fair to say he was helped by the fact that Johnny had to play the entire match left-handed after losing three fingers to a pike during a recent fishing trip.
8.
Yes, get well soon, Johnny. And we'll also take this opportunity to say get well soon to Ken Bandwidth. Ken recently injured himself quite badly making beans on toast.
31.
Hope you're on the mend, Ken. We know you'll be at home watching the darts with your mangled legs.
Right then, so from the two poets of the Pondside, it's over to Liverpool's premier working class poet. It's Roy Hughes.
And this is called Down in Old London Town.
I was down in old London town, feeling down in old London town, and now I'm down, down in old London town.
A very moving piece.
Moving stuff. He doesn't like being down south, Roy. Staring at the Thames isn't the same.
No.
I'm inspired by him. I want to go and write and stare at the Mersey and smoke.
Smoke? If Roy's work has achieved anything, it's driving a man who hasn't previously smoked to smoking. Yes, very serious stuff from Roy, but not as serious as the following. Please listen to the following appeal and then give whatever you can to this very worthy cause. Thank you.
This evening, Alan doesn't know what he's going to have for dinner. This weekend, Tom will have to iron his own shirt. In homes up and down the country, thousands of single men are trying to fend for themselves in squalid conditions. Some are inflicting sexual abuse on themselves up to 3 times a day. But the National Society for the Neglect of Single Men are trying to help. For just £2 a month, you can adopt a single man. Just £2 can help pay towards a home-cooked meal, a cleaner, and maybe a wank. They're just single men, and they need your help. Please, go online and give just £2 a month to the NSNSM. Don't make Steve have to do his own washing up again.
Just give what you can. As usual, donations of any form are always welcome. Contact us at talkingspite@gmail.com. See you after the break.
Worried that you might not have a hangover? Then round the night off with a whiskey. Whiskey. Sky Box Office and Warren Promotions present Cage Knitting. Betty Hegarty versus Barbara Sandwich. Cage Knitting 4. The Cast Off.
Ooh, there's going to be trouble.
Coming soon to Sky Sports 6.
Thank you.
Eva Cassidy returns with her 18th posthumous album. A collection of songs lovingly assembled by incredibly desperate record company executives. The first album that truly is any old shit they could find. Any old shit they could find. The new album from Eva Cassidy, out now. Okay, it's time for Kenny Jackett's Noel Edmonds facts. All of the following facts were assembled by former Watford midfielder Kenny Jackett. If Noel Edmonds is listening to the show, which he probably is, and he wants to dispute any of these facts, then he is not questioning us. We are merely the messengers. He is questioning the fact-gathering ability of Kenny Jackett. Graham, hit us with the first Noel Edmonds fact.
Okay, the first fact from Kenny is Noel Edmonds is the result of an unholy matrimony between a Russian wolf and an East End flower seller.
I can believe that.
That's fairly
believable.
Yeah, it's fairly
obvious.
Ian, next fact, please.
Okay, so his trademark mane signifies that he is the alpha male in the pack. And again.
Yeah.
He is the alpha male.
I can understand, you know. Absolutely right.
His beard is actually made of pure silk and is stronger than a spider's web.
You ever tugged it? You've tugged it?
I've never tugged it.
Never tugged it.
I'd like to tug it.
Never met the man.
Think Kenny has?
I would hope so if he's writing down his facts. He's got too basing on if he's not tugged it.
Yeah.
Agreed. I am not questioning the fact-gathering ability of Kenny Jackett. Would Kenny Jackett have racked up 337 appearances for Watford if he didn't know how to accurately assemble facts? No. Okay, Ian, next fact.
Next fact is, every full moon, Noel Edmonds' nipples emit a sweet lullaby and shine rainbow-coloured lights into the night sky. This normally occurs between 1:30 and 3:21 a.m, but only lasts 17.6 seconds on average. And it actually causes Edmonds no pain or discomfort.
Oh, that's good to know that he's not suffering for that.
How does Kenny know? Where's Kenny had that from? Next.
Right, next fact we have. This is an interesting one. Noel Edmonds once brought a dead cat back to life by singing Mary's Prayer by Danny Wilson gently into its left ear after the cat had apparently been struck by a mini camper van on a B road in Devon.
He's a good sport.
Yeah.
No.
Well, shows he's got a humanitarian something. Yeah, it's a cat.
Last fact.
Yeah.
He also wrote Oye Mi Canto for Gloria Estefan.
Top tune.
Yeah, I mean, he loves Latin music now. You know, that's not on Kenny's fact list, but I know that for a fact.
I don't like Gloria Estefan.
Don't.
Nasty piece of work.
Close friend of mine, I was lead kazoo player in the Miami Sound Machine from 1986 to 1988, and that fact is true. He did write that.
And now was Gloria, was she a diva, was she?
Yeah, a bit of a pain in the ass.
She's a nasty piece of work. She's threatening me with rhythm.
Did it get you?
After our words, 87, so cut this out.
Excellent work, Kenny. Next month, Steve Sherwood's History of the Moustache.
Look forward to that.
It's time for this month's star signs. Graham, do you follow the horoscopes?
I'll say I'm a typical Piscean and that I'm born between the dates of February the 20th and March the 20th.
Yeah. Okay, so for people who are stupid, here's the star signs.
Sagittarians are the explorers of the zodiac, and it will pay off this week when you discover a new continent whilst on a budget package holiday. Not such good news for those born under the sign of Gemini, though, as you will fail a job interview due to your fear of coat hangers. Your lucky racetrack is the Nürburgring. Aquarians will have cause to celebrate as you will win the lottery, all 5 million of you taking home over £1 each. Whilst Pisceans, born on the 31st of February, will be beheaded by an angry King Herod. All change for people born under the sign of Capricorn. Your love of sheep will have you move to rural Oxfordshire to start a new life as a Sybil Shepherd. Whilst Virgos are also on the move, as you will soon join a regional theatre company and then live out your remaining years in rural France as a mute. Your lucky mathematical constant is pi. With the moon in the sky and a cake in the oven, lucky Leo will fulfil a lifelong ambition and form a black lace tribute band. while someone born under the sign of Aries will invent soup. Your lucky crustacean is the barnacle. Mystical forces are at work for Cancerians, when to the bewilderment of the medical community, you will grow a second armpit, whilst a woman born under the sign of Scorpio will finally clean the bathroom. Librans looking for change will find it this week by cashing a £10 note in a corner shop. And with Venus and Furs, the celestial alignment foretells that a man born under the sign of Taurus will discover that he is not semi-aquatic. Your lucky bone is the coccyx.
Utter nonsense. Absolute rubbish.
Drivel.
Drivel. Yep. Drivel. I need to hear the voice of science right now. Here is Professor Brian Dix. Talk some sense, Brian.
If you were to imagine that this poorly executed cartoon of a man's genitalia was the planet Venus, and that this overripe Satsuma with a biro wedged into it was the planet Neptune, then that would tell us precisely nothing about the cosmos.
Thank you, Brian. Probably not the most insightful piece of science ever, but factually correct. Everything you said was factually correct. So, thanks, Brian. So the show's almost at an end, but before we go, aftershave, what aftershave are you wearing this month, Graham?
I'm actually wearing a new fragrance from Fleetwood Town Council called Councillor Jeff Jones for Men.
Councillor Jeff Jones for Men, what's that giving you?
It's an air of authority. I think you can have a waft.
Oh,
you
know? Yeah, wow. I feel like subordinate.
Yeah, it's a bit of a confidence giver, I think.
Good, yeah. Yeah. Ian?
Harpic Fresh this month.
Harpic Fresh?
Yeah, underarm only. And the reason for that is I was reading Keith Barron, his autobiography from Duty Free.
Yeah.
During his scenes when he was flirting with Linda.
Oh, yeah.
He used to wear Harpic Fresh.
Pretty much most episodes, though.
Pretty much most episodes, yeah. But specifically for the flirting scene. So when he was rowing with Brenda, not interested.
What scent is fragrance?
It's lime.
Lime?
Yeah.
Lime.
Zesty.
Mm. Stings a bit at first.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
Build up a bit of a harpic tolerance for it.
Yeah, a little harpic tolerance, yeah.
I take it you've got no lime scale on your armpits. So
none whatsoever.
Does the job.
Mm.
I'm wearing MK1, the scent of Milton Keynes.
Hot.
Final word to Brian Shule. Anything exciting to report on your sex tour, Brian?
The insertion of the lady's index finger was a welcome, if not surprising, addition to the proceedings.
And on that image, we'll call it a day. Thanks for listening. You can contact us at talkingspite@gmail.com. The show was written by Peter Collins and Graeme Flynn and performed by Peter Collins, Graeme Flynn, Ian Dewar and Petra Howarth. The music was by Bad Precedent and Alex Carew. The podcast was recorded, mixed and edited by Peter Collins. Additional royalty-free music and sound effects were used in the recording and where traceable will be credited on our website. We don't have any outro music, so this is the intro music backwards. See you next month.